in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. What a passage. Amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ means in relationship with Jesus. In Christ means that we are under his care, that we are in his love, that we are in his heart, in his mind. We are just like we're in the best of friendships or like a great marriage. We are in that relationship. We are in Christ. And it says, if we are in Christ, whoever we are a new creation. Wow. In Christ. All throughout the scriptures, it talks about being baptized into Jesus, being buried with him through water baptism. Just like he died and then rose to eternal life, we die to our old life without God and are raised up to a new life with God. You know what's interesting is when you translate into English or whatever language it is from the original language of the Bible, which in the New Testament was Greek, it's interesting that sometimes you have to add some words for it to make sense. If you were to look at the original writing in the Greek of this passage, it would read this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. It doesn't have the he is. It doesn't have the she is. It just says, therefore, anyone in Christ, new creation. It just gets right to the point as quickly as that. What's added here is the he is so that it would make sense to us in the way that we communicate in English. It's saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. But that also limits the understanding of it, because the understanding then means what we normally think it means. If you're in Christ, everything has changed. But we also know from the book of Revelation that it says, behold, I make all things new. And it's referring to a new existence, not just a new experience, but a new existence. We then are transferred from the kingdoms of this earth to the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. We are transferred from this place that is temporal and filled with pain to a place that is eternal where there is no pain. Every tear wiped away. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more death. No more dying. So the full meaning of this scripture is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they live differently, they act differently, they think differently. Everything has changed for them in this life, but they also are guaranteed a new life that is always, forever going to be with God in heaven. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, their reality is now new. New creation, new heaven, new experience of life on this earth. Everything becomes new. Can you say amen? Amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. I don't know about you, but I'm different since Jesus came into my life. I'm different. And you know what I've realized? I'm not perfect. God's not finished. Who said yes? Was that my wife? Was that my wife? Paula? Amen, Paula. He knows me, see? I'm not perfect, but you know what? I have a new desire to be perfect.
Mm. Amen.
I haven't gotten to the place where I no longer sin, but when I sin, it matters to me. Mm. Before, it never mattered to me. I didn't care. I live for myself. Mm. Now, if I get off on the wrong track, I want to get back on the right track. Everything. My thoughts have changed. I care about things that I didn't used to care about. I care about the way I live, and I care about people. I remember how my world was wrapped around me. It was all about me. I remember that. I remember thinking, I want to get, not necessarily to give. And I remember when I came to Jesus, I began to care for people that I never used to care for before. I began to notice people sitting in rooms that I would never have looked upon before. I would have just easily overlooked them, but I began to look at them and I had love for them. I remember the change when Jesus came in my life. Do you know my dad came to Jesus in this church in 1952, and it was not here at this location, but it was in this church in 1952, and he said when he walked out the door of this church, he said the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, and everyone I saw that I didn't care about before, I loved, and I know that experience. And we know what happens. When we come to Jesus, things change, revolutionize in our lives. The old things that we used to think and do and be a part of, we no longer do anymore. We walk a different way. We talk a different way. In Christ, all things have become new. Not just now, but for all eternity. Can you say amen? The old things have gone. The new has come. And then it identifies where all this comes from. All this is from God. You can't give a church or a pastor or a priest or an imam or a rabbi or whoever. You can't give the credit to some religious institution. This all comes from God. No human could put all this together. No human could bring this kind of love into the world. No human could bring this kind of reconciliation. No human could make all things new. I might make you have a better day if I smile at you rather than punch you, right? Okay? But I can't make all things new for you. I can't transform your heart. I can't transform your life. I can't make everything different. I can't make you to know that you have eternal life. But God can. All this is from God. People wonder why we worship, why we dance, why we jump, why we shout. All those things that we do is because we recognize that all this comes from God and He's worthy. Can you say amen? Amen. All this is from God. Who? What is God about? Through Christ, reconciled us to Himself. Wow. Christ comes into the picture. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Some of you didn't even think about that, did you? Well, Christmas. It's Merry Christmas, right? No, it's Merry Christmas. You want to mess with somebody's head, just walk up to them and go, Merry Christmas. They'll look at you like, what is wrong with you? By the way, if you don't do that, okay, just you can explain it. Then they'll understand a little better. Don't be weird, right? And nobody likes weird. But the idea is that when we say Merry Christmas, we're saying Merry Christmas. And Christ came into the picture. And the way that God reconciles us to Himself is through Christ. The way that God brings us back into relationship with Him is through Christ. No Christ, no reconciliation. No Christ, no eternal life. No death and resurrection of Jesus, no hope for eternal life. No hope for heaven. Lost, sinful humanity without Jesus. But I will say this, even the skeptics have to admit that when Christ came into the world, in different places where Christ was mentioned and His teachings were made known, the educational systems got better, the laws got better, the health care got better. Wherever the influence of Jesus has spread into the world, wherever Christ is gone, somebody has been reconciled in some way. Somebody's been reconciled back to health. Somebody's been reconciled to education. Somebody's been reconciled to this. But the greatest thing is to be reconciled to God. I can be the most highly educated, healthy person on the planet, but if I don't know where I'm going after I die, what good is that to me? But God has reconciled the world to Himself. And it doesn't mean that the world has been reconciled to God. You know, I could love all kinds of people who don't love me, okay, back. Just because God loves us and has extended a hand of friendship to us doesn't mean that we don't have to extend our hand to respond to God. God has already reconciled Himself to the world, right? He has. He has done that. But He's waiting now for the world to reach back a hand to Him. It's an amazing thing. We've got to receive the love of God. But here's what it says. And it says that God has, through Christ, reconciled to himself. And then listen to this. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Merry Christmas world. What do you do when Christmas is over in your life? What do you do when Jesus has come into your life? What do you do when you know the truest and fullest meaning of Christmas and you're in awe that God sent his son to this earth to take on human flesh, die on a cross, rise from the dead so that you could know God and you could be with him forever? What do you do then? You take up the ministry of reconciliation. You take up the thing that has been given to you freely, you then give to others freely. It's just natural spiritually to do that. When you receive the love of God, you share the love of God. When you are given salvation, you offer salvation to friends and family members and even strangers on a bus, wherever they are. We love them because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Look at that. God has given us reconciliation, but he's also given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, the word ministry is important there because ministry means service. The word means that we become servants to others. We begin to demonstrate love to people, even if it hurts, even if it's out of our way, even if it costs us. We do it because we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've not just been given the task of reconciliation, but we've been given the opportunity to serve reconciliation to others. Can you believe that? Hey, you know what Paul, this cost him? He was shipwrecked. He was scourged. That means he was whipped until he was a bloody mess. He was beaten. He was rejected even by his own family members. But he was committed to the ministry of reconciliation. No matter what it cost him, he was willing to do it because God was more important. Being in relationship with God is more important. Reconciling, being reconciled by God and reconciling the world to God is more important than any of our earthly comforts. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let me move on quick. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Think of that. God sees the sin, and the trespass, that's an interesting word, because it's not just, oh, I made a mistake. This is willful, eyes wide open disobedience, knowing what God said and saying, I'm not going to do it. That's a trespass. Sin might be, it's an unintentional, this is intentional sinning before God. And God sees that intentional sinning and says, you know what? I'm not going to hold it against you. But you know what? Because God's a God of justice, he had to find a way to do it. And the way that he found is in verse number 21, right there at the last one. I'm going to jump ahead, and I'm going to read this. It says, for our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, God can't overlook our sin. He can choose not to count it against us, but it still has to be punished because God is holy. And God can't just go, oh, it doesn't matter that you sin. Sin is offensive to God. It is offensive to him as creator and as savior. It's offensive to God. God can't just overlook the sin. So you know what he did? In order to be able to save you and me, he sent his own son from heaven, who's completely sinless, to come to this earth, live a completely sinless life, and then the one who never did anything wrong became all the wrong that we've ever done. That's what it says. It says the one who was without sin, he made him to become sin for us. That's what it says. He actually became sin. He, in his divinity and his humanity, becoming human in the flesh, he became sin for us. He became, as we talked last week, the one who is now guilty for sin as a human being, as human beings are guilty, but also the one who is God, has full capacity, all of the heaven's resources of purity to then pay for that sin. All the love. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became like just like a sinner, somebody who is condemned for sin, who is separated from God. He did that. Why? Because that's how much he loves us. He loves us so much that he went on a rescue mission that cost him everything he could possibly give. And he came to this earth, became sin for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Why is that important? Because sin is what separates us from God. And if we allow it to, it will separate us from all eternity. That's what hell is all about. That's what hell is. Hell is not God's desire. Hell is us just choosing. We don't want God's salvation. We don't want God to take our sins away. We hold on to our sins, and for the rest of eternity, we are holding on to that sin, rejecting relationship with God. And when you don't have a relationship with God, hell is what you have. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want hell on earth for us. He doesn't want hell in eternity for us. So he loves us so much. This is how much he cares about that, that we don't suffer hell, that we don't suffer here on this earth. He cares enough about it that he who was without sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Am I righteous? Absolutely, I'm righteous. But it's not because of me. It's because of him. It's not because of what I've done or am doing or am about to do that I've attained righteousness. It's only because I've placed my faith in the only one who is righteous and who gave his life for me as a sacrifice for my sins. And that is how God looks at me. And that doesn't mean I get a free pass to sin. And in fact, if you have somebody that loves you that much, you're going to want to love them back. Amen? You're going to want to give them the greatest devotion, the greatest care to make sure that you're doing what is right before them because of the price that they paid for you. It's a beautiful message that we have at Christmas. And now we're going to pick up right there at the therefore, the second therefore of this passage. It says, after God has reconciled us to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and has given us the message of reconciliation. Then the next line says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Wow. My daughter Jody gave this to me this morning. She told me about it, and I said, I want to use that in my message. It's perfect. She told about how they were at a seminary graduation, and the speaker took clips from Mary Poppins. How many of you have seen or heard about Mary Poppins? Okay, probably 100% of you, right? Nice family movie. Is it a horror movie? Of course not, right? But they took clips from it, and they put them in such a way that all of a sudden, it's like a horror film. The whole thing about Mary Poppins seen from the wrong perspective, okay? The relevance is it's the story of Mary Poppins, but not the real story. It's just a little bit of the Mary Poppins story put in such a way that if you were to think you were going to see Mary Poppins, you were going to think that you're going to a horror movie, you know, hide your children, okay? But we know that's not the real story of Mary Poppins. It is a very sweet tale that is for kids and families and all that. The reality is that that's what the world is like when it comes to God. Most of the world sees God as scary Mary. Most of the world doesn't know the love of God. Most of the world doesn't know that God is a great story, that God is only a story of love. Some people only know little parts of the Bible enough to quote it inaccurately, to go ahead and say, you know what, this is who God is. This is what the story of the Bible is all about. They've heard this, that, and the other, but they haven't known it for themselves. They haven't known the Bible for themselves. They haven't known God for themselves. When I open up the Bible, I'm not scared for myself. I'm comforted by the Bible. I don't get confused when I read the Bible. It helps to clear away my confusion. It gives me instruction and guidance. These are the things that happen. When I go to God, I'm not running away from God. I'm running into the arms of God. He's my heavenly Father. He's my Papa God. He's my Daddy God. He's the one who I know loves me more than anybody else loves me at all. And the sad thing is that the world knows God often as Scary Mary, somebody to run away from or not pay attention to, or I don't want to go and be a part of that. But the reality is we are given the ministry of reconciliation to go into this world and let people know that God is not Scary Mary, that God is not somebody who they have to run away from or hide from, but that they can come into a relationship with God through Jesus. It's good news, not bad news. Yeah. It's true news, not fake news. It is wonderful news, not a horror story. And this is the way the world maybe sees it. They're in the dark, but we need to reach them with the light of Christ. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The Lord has given us a promise. Through a prophetic word, God spoke to us, and many of you know this already. He said, don't pray for people to come. Pray for God to come. And God will bring people. He said, don't try to attract people. Attract God. And God will attract the people. And I look back just over the last few days, and I see God at work fulfilling that promise. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me about how God has been bringing us opportunities. How about how God has been bringing us people that we can share the message of reconciliation with them. And we're surrounded here by nations and here in the nation's capital. And I'm looking, saying, look at the things that you're doing. I reflect back on the unity walk that happened this year. And I reflect back on the people who came in, maybe a couple hundred, maybe more than that, that came through our doors, that were on their way from the synagogue to the mosque. And how they stopped in here, and how we had people here praying for them, and we were greeting them in the lobby. And then how we had the reunion for the Unity Walk that I was invited to. And I didn't even share these stories, and somebody got up and said, I don't know what church it is that people stopped at, but my friends stopped, and they had a stomach problem that went on for years, and that church prayed for them, and that stomach problem went away, and no doctor could do that, and they got healed right then. And they said, that was a Jewish lady who doesn't even go to that church. And I just thought, I'm sitting there, and then they asked, whose church was it? And everybody in the room said, his church, right there. And I'm like, yeah, that's Embassy Church. We were praying, and we saw God. That was the second healing of a stomach issue in the last 2 years of somebody that couldn't be helped by doctors that was helped. We had the other story about, we got an email from a sister that we prayed for here, and she went home, and her brother, who was blind, could see the next day. And we have that email of what God did there. It was amazing. But what I'm saying is, that's God saying, I want to manifest myself. I want to be reconciled to the world. I want to show the world I'm not Scary Mary, that I love people. I'll heal their sicknesses. I'll take away their sins. I'll change their life. I'll make the old passed away and make all things new. I'll make their relationships better, their marriages better. I'll do all kinds of amazing things for them if they would just allow me to be in relationship with them. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that I was asked, as pastor of you guys, one of the pastors, right? I'm not the only one, right, y'all? But as pastor, I was asked to give the prayer at the Islamic Center for the Christians. I couldn't believe it. And I prayed about it, and then Jason and I talked about it, and he had something from the Lord. I had something from the Lord. We put it together. And I got up on the steps. Here I'm at the Islamic Center after this youth choir had just sung Amazing Grace. And I'm able to pray a prayer. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power. Unto the Lamb who sacrificed his life and through his blood purchased people for God from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. And has made them to be a kingdom and priest to God, to serve God forever and ever. And I'm sitting there praying this prayer, giving glory to the Lord Jesus on the steps of the Islamic Center, saying, pinch me. Is this not a dream? This stuff doesn't happen in real life. It's not supposed to anyway. And yet this was the kind of stuff that was going on. The reality is I'm not bringing this up to give me the glory or you the glory. We know that this is not us. We know where we've failed and struggled and all those things. We're not enamored with ourselves. But we're looking and saying, God, you did this thing. You gave us these opportunities. And we know that YWAM prayed those prayers for the Muslim world here for about 3-4 weeks at the beginning of this year. I know that what God did in response to one of the things God did in response to those prayers was to place me on the steps of the Islamic Center to give glory to the name of Jesus and pray for all nations. I know that. All right? We had somebody that God brought to our Christmas party that found us on the website They're Muslim, they don't know Jesus, but they wanted to go to a Christmas party, and they came here and saw us celebrating and dancing with Pastor Jess and Renan and all of their team. By the way, if you haven't been to a Filipino Christmas party, you need to make sure you don't miss that. They're the funnest things on the planet. I mean, we played games, we danced, we had food galore, and then afterwards, I got to share the good news of Jesus. And that family was sitting right there. Joe said to me, look at the people that God's brought. At the nativity, we had people from Azerbaijan, from Egypt. Name the countries you guys talked to. Name them real quick. Sri Lanka. Where else? Iran. Several Iranians. Brazil. There were so many countries. Poland. Egypt. I remember Egypt. All these countries. What I'm saying is that God is at work. And we need to be a part of that work. Every one of us need to be reconciled to God and need to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. God has uniquely positioned us to be here in the nation's capital, among the nations, so that we not only can be reconciled to God ourselves, but we can offer everyone the ministry of reconciliation. If you need to be reconciled to God and you want to be reconciled to God today, you want to come into relationship with God. You know that He loves you so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, to come to this earth and live a sinless life and thereby be sacrificed as the acceptable sacrifice for our sins so that the justice of God could be satisfied, but also His love for us could be satisfied. That our sins don't have to be counted against us, that we can then accept His free offer of forgiveness and reconciliation to come into relationship with Him. And today you say, I want to be in relationship with God, and I know that it's only a work of God through Jesus. And so I'm going to receive what Jesus did for me on the cross today. I'm going to receive that sacrifice, and I'm going to place my faith in Jesus today, who not only gave the purest teachings ever given in the world, but also gave His own life and then rose from the dead 3 days later. And in that, you're going to place your trust today to come into relationship with God and just to say, I want to be reconciled to God. I'm in need of relationship with God. At the end of this 2014 year, going into next year, you want things to be new for you. You want the old to pass away, the old life without God and the new life with God. Oh, thank You, Lord, that You give us the patience, Lord, that Your patience is so great, Lord. You've waited for us all our lives to come to You. Praise God. And if you recognize that sin has separated you from God, disobedience, willful disobedience, and you realize you've offended God and you want to ask Him to forgive you, just go ahead and do that right now. Just say, I'm sorry. Go ahead and express to Him however you want your need for Him. And if you want to express to Him that you're sorry, feel free to do that right now. Thank You, Lord, for those who are praying, Lord, confessing their need for You, and also confessing why they need You, that they're sinners in need of salvation, just like all of us. So, Lord, I praise You, God, for people being reconciled to You right now. And I know, Father, that the way that You save people is through Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that each one of these people would have a personal relationship with Jesus, who lived for them, died for them, rose from the dead, and is preparing a place for them in heaven for all eternity. I pray, Jesus, that they would have a personal relationship with You, that their faith would be in You, Jesus, in Your life, in Your death, in Your resurrection, and that, Jesus, they would walk with You and follow You all the days of their life, God, and they would be filled with Your Holy Spirit, and they would have good fellowship with other believers, and that they would be able, God, to be supported in their walk with You, that they would never stray and never fall down and not get up, Father. In the name of Jesus, that when they fall, they would be able to get up, that they would have all the encouragement they need, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that You would surround them with people who love You and love them, God. I pray that You would surround them with Your Bible, God, that, Father, they would understand it like they never have before, and that, Father, they would read it and understand it and experience it like never before. In Jesus' name, God. and they'd walk with you and talk with you, God. Jesus, I trust you and what you did for me on the cross and rising from the dead. Go ahead and feel free to pray that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.